It is 7:33 in the morning. You're listening to Upfront. I'm Brian Edwards-Tiekert. And it's exactly 4 weeks until Election Day. And every day until then, we will spend part of the show covering a different state or local race. Today, one of the toughest fought races for the state legislature. It has drawn more campaign spending than any other Democrat-on-Democrat battle for the Assembly. And it is in the district that we are broadcasting from. Assembly District 15 stretches up the East Bay Shore from North Oakland and Emeryville to Richmond and Hercules. The two candidates who would like to represent it are sitting with me in KPFA studios right now. To my left, Buffy Wicks, a political consultant who worked on both Obama campaigns and moved here shortly before taking over the Clinton campaign's California operation in 2016. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And further to my left, Jovanka Beckles, a long-serving member of the Richmond City Council, who's running not just as a Democrat, but also a Democratic Socialist. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
We're going to cut right to the chase, and I will ask both of you to lay out what you see as your biggest differences. Buffy Wicks, we'll start with you. Take a minute
sure.
and a half.
Sure. Well, thank you so much for having me. And, you know, I've spent my entire career working in progressive politics as a progressive organizer. I think we're in a very critical moment right now here in the Bay Area, specifically on the housing issue. I think this is one of the main differences between me and my opponent. I fundamentally believe that part of the challenge that we've had around housing is we haven't built enough homes, both subsidized low income, but middle income, market rate, all the above housing. So I believe that the cause of the problem is the housing shortage. My opponent has said we don't suffer from a housing shortage crisis, we suffer from an affordability crisis. But to me, what that says then is that the shortage is not the cause. And I think if you have a difference of opinion of the cause, you'll have different solutions, right? So I think that's one of the main differences from us in terms of, you know, where we are on the housing. So I believe in transit-oriented housing. I want to build more housing. You know, my opponent has voted down or abstained on projects in Richmond that I would have voted for if I were in her position. She abstained on a 100% affordable 155-unit project, for example. Those are things that I would have supported. You know, I think there's also some differences in us politically. You know, my opponent, you know, proudly endorsed and voted for and campaigned for Jill Stein and basically insinuated via social media that, you know, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton were the same. I think Hillary would have been a better president than Donald Trump. I think we see that every day right now. We see that transpiring in the Supreme Court shenanigans of and challenges we've had in the past recent weeks that are very disheartening. So I think these are some of the challenges. Also, you know, the way that she has spent her time in the city council would be different than me. You know, she pushed for and passed a resolution making Richmond a safe haven from government mind control. To me, this is not what the city council should be doing. You know, government should be focused on helping the most amount of people that need the help on issues around homelessness, on, you know, housing, on all these big perplexing issues, you know. So I think these are some of the differences.
Great. That was closer to 2 minutes. So, Jovanka Beckles, why don't you take 2 minutes to answer the same question. What do you see as the biggest differences between the two of you?
The biggest differences would be, one, I support Prop 10 because I believe the rent is too damn high. People are being displaced from their communities. Communities are becoming unstable. And so I support it wholeheartedly.
Prop 10
is the measure that will be on the ballot to repeal Costa-Hawkins. So for cities like Richmond, Berkeley, Oakland, who've had rent control, particularly cities like Richmond that has brought forward rent control the first time in 30 years, our hands are tied because of the Costa-Hawkins law that prohibits rent control from cities from exerting rent control policies on development and housing built after 1995. And so we've seen how people have been displaced because of just the rents being as high as they are. So I support it. I believe that we need to build more affordable housing. We've seen lots of new development, luxury housing, for-profit housing is not working for the many. It's only working for a few. And so we absolutely have to build more affordable housing to house those who are currently houseless. So that's where we differ. My My opponent does not support rent control, new rent control policies throughout California. The other way that we are also different is I believe that we need to have a moratorium on charter schools because, again, the privatization of our school system is really wreaking havoc on our public school system. And every single child living in California, every young adult living in California should have the opportunity for quality education. And right now we've seen that we've seen now that our school systems are being drained because of just what we're seeing with the amounts of charter schools sucking the lifeblood out of our public school system. The other ways that we're different as well is that the majority of my donations come from right within the district. My opponent, most of her money comes from outside of the district. It's important for me to base my campaign on truths and not half lies. So my opponent recently mentioned that I abstained from a vote, voting for a housing project that was 100% affordable, and that simply that would be unfortunate that she would have voted on that project because the project that I abstained on was a project from developers who had taken advantage of many, many communities of color. And so in most cities, they were denied there too. And so, you know, to vote on something like that to further take advantage of a community of color like Richmond would be really unconscionable. So I have voted for, instead of that particular project, I did vote for a project that would also bring affordable housing to Richmond 100% from a responsible developer.
Gotcha. We're speaking to Buffy Wicks and Jovanka Beckles. They're the two candidates for Assembly District 15. That is the East Bay Shore stretching from North Oakland and Emeryville to Richmond and Hercules. And we'll be taking your calls for them momentarily. Two rules. We are looking for questions and we are giving priority to people who live in the district. The call-in line that we're using today, 510-848-4425, 510-848-4425. For your questions for Assembly District 15 candidates, Buffy Wicks and Jovanka Beckles. I'm going to ask both of you to follow up on this question because you both highlighted housing in your remarks on where the differences are. Buffy Wicks, why don't you start by responding on the question of Proposition 10.
Sure.
So this is an issue that would remove the state-imposed restrictions on the forms of rent control cities can impose.
Sure. So first of all, I very much support rent control and believe that it's a very valuable tool. I know there are many families living here in the East Bay who the thing separating them between living here and having to leave is rent control. And I understand the value of that. And I've spent a lot of time talking with different folks, folks who work in homelessness issues, folks who work in housing, folks who build affordable housing. And there's been concerns raised that, you know, if this passes, it could have an unintended consequence of exacerbating our housing crisis because it could halt the new construction of homes. And that's a position that the NAACP shares, as well as the building trades labor unions who employ or who have a lot of the workers who build these homes, right? As well as affordable housing experts whose sole mission is to make sure we build enough affordable housing to deal with the crisis that we are in. And those organizations, advocacy groups and folks who build affordable housing have come out in opposition to this. And I think we have to heed that and listen to that. Now, I think there are things that we can and should do. I strongly believe we need to reform Costa-Hawkins. And if I'm elected, it's one of the things that I will work on right away. You could do something like a rolling date, you know, that would allow for a new construction exemption, thereby not ensuring that we can still build more homes. The other thing that I would do on day one, irrespective, is push for and pass anti-gouging legislation, which I think is another, frankly, better solution in that if you did it legislatively, it would happen overnight all across the state, protect renters who rents are soaring, so we can give renters some of these protections that they desperately need. And so I've spent a lot of time talking with folks about this and really trying to understand the issue. I agree the rent is too damn high.
You said you spent a lot of time talking to folks.
Yep.
And you talked about stuff you heard, but mm-hmm. the folks you mentioned were the building trades,
yep,
the NAACP, and developers. Have you spoken to tenants' rights groups on this issue?
And also, Carol Galante, who's at UC Berkeley at the Turner Center, who used to run the largest nonprofit affordable housing nonprofit in the country, and people like that, who their entire job and mission in life is to make sure that we build the affordable housing that we need.
Right. Have you engaged with tenants' groups?
I've certainly read a lot of what the tenants' folks have said, and very much taken into account their concerns, and the tenants' groups are fighting on a very passionate issue, and I want to make sure that those tenants groups are strong, that they have the political...
You said you've read what they said.
Yeah.
Have you met with any of the organizations that represent tenants in the district?
I haven't, but I would love to.
Okay. Jovanka Beckles, the point that Buffy Wicks pointed to in her housing agenda was getting more housing built. This is removing restrictions on the construction of housing, freeing up funding for the construction of affordable housing. Where do you land on those issues?
The for-profit housing market isn't working. It's just not working. For-profit developers will never build the affordable housing for all that we need. Land is expensive in California, and real estate corporations want to make a maximum return on their investment, which means they build luxury market rate housing. Oakland, for example, last year alone built 4,000 luxury housing, market rate housing, but only 324 affordable housing were actually built, which shows that how the for-profit developers are not going to build the housing we need, because we don't have it doesn't make the profit that they need, right? But that's why I support the solution to this is building housing for people, not for profit. We need a bold plan to publicly fund our affordable housing while we keep people in our homes. We need to expand rent control for that reason, to protect more renters and to stop displacement right now. That's why I support Prop 10, and I believe that a statewide baseline in rent control. Now, my opponent,
on a second. Let's stick on your agenda.
Sure.
Because that's what I pressed Buffy Wicks on.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of suspicion in housing policy circles that when people say, I just want affordable housing, I just want public housing, because there's not enough funding to build those things, it's really just a different way of saying, I don't want construction at all.
That would not be true, because we can fund it. There is a way that we can fund it. In fact, we have a couple ballot measures. Well, one in particular that would be able to work towards funding affordable housing. And that is, we have put on the ballot Oakland, Berkeley, and Richmond. We have put on the ballot to tax speculators by taxing vacant property. So we have a vacant property tax on the ballot for November. That's part of the way that we can build the affordable housing that we need. So it is not impossible. The fifth largest economy in the world, with unprecedented levels of vacant property that's been bought up by speculators. We tax that. We can build the affordable housing that we need. We tax, again, I always bring it back to taxing the rich, right? And that's why when we talk about, when my opponent talks about housing development plan, it really is a giveaway to public land and money for these for-profit developers. But the solution to that is we should use that, our public land and money, to build permanently affordable, not-for-profit housing.
That's the voice of Jovanka Beckles, also with us in studio, Buffy Wicks. They are both running to represent Assembly District 15, which is the East Bay from North Oakland to Richmond. If you live in that district, we'd love to take your questions for them. 510-848-4425. First on the line, we have Sandy in Oakland. Good morning.
Hi. My question, Buffy Wicks articulated that she thinks that the housing crisis is because of a shortage. What does Jovanka Beckles think is the root cause of the housing crisis?
Yeah, the root cause of our housing crisis is quite simply greed. Greed as well, greed of these for-profit developers, greed of speculators. So that's one aspect of it. The other root cause of the homelessness that we're seeing is we're not addressing, we're not providing and giving resources for mental health services. We're also not providing resources for substance abuse. We're also not providing our community with a living wage. And so people are not able to afford, as rents continue to go up, right, in this sort of really unprecedented levels, we are not seeing people's salary, people's pay keep up with that demand. And so really, that's exactly why my platform, I talk about the fact that we need to provide people with an increased minimum wage, a living wage. That is one of the reasons why people are becoming homeless. That's why we have people who are working 40 hours a week because of this, our rents continuing to go up. 40 hours a week living out of their cars in the marina, that's not right. So we have to deal with the root causes of homelessness if we're going to address this crisis that we currently are seeing.
Buffy Wicks will give you a crack at the same question. Out of fairness, your diagnosis on the root causes of the housing crisis.
Sure. I mean, I think I've articulated that. I think it fundamentally it's a shortage of homes. We are about 2 million homes short here in California. So I think we need to be building transit-oriented housing, be building around our BART stops. That means investments in public transportation as well. You can't have the housing conversation unless you have the transportation conversation as well. So I do believe we need to build more low-income subsidized housing, but also middle-income housing. I support workforce housing. You know, we have a major teacher shortage. We're not paying our teachers enough also. But a part of the challenge too is they can't afford to live here. We have teachers living in Stockton and Tracy commuting to Oakland and Berkeley every day. That's not right. You know, we desperately need to build more homes. You know, I've been endorsed by David Chu, who's chair of the housing committee. I want to be on the housing committee if elected, and work with him to push for solutions to fundamentally address this issue. And I think experts across the state agree that the challenge is that we have not built enough homes. So those are the things that I care and want to work on.
Let me press you on that.
Sure.
The numbers I've seen from developers are that you cannot build a new unit of housing for less than, depends on which city in the district, but close to $500,000, mm-hmm. which leads to the question, if your strategy for building more homes is let the market provide them, and the market's not going to provide them at a cost of less than $500,000 plus profits, who are the homes going to be for?
Well, I strongly believe we need affordable housing, right? And I think, you know, if you look at, for instance, you know, there's the project on the MacArthur BART, right? And that's a larger development. They were able to do 20% affordable, you know. It's right on a BART stop, you know, so folks there can get into BART, they can get over to San Francisco easily, you know, supporting things like that that have an affordable component to it, right? We want as much affordable housing as we can possibly get. But the other thing that we need to do, another idea, and we have to have creativity all on the table here, but I call for a state public infrastructure bank that could hopefully help fund some of the stuff. And for instance, there's a lot of places in Oakland and Berkeley where people have detached garages, right? They want to make those into livable units, but a lot of people don't have $200,000 lying around who has that kind of money, you know. But if you had a state infrastructure bank that could give a low interest rate make those into livable units, if someone for a certain period of time housed someone, a low income person who needs affordable housing, so that it could be a win-win-win for everyone. So we're creating more density in communities without building massive buildings, right? The owner of the house can also then have a livable unit, and we could house folks who are low-income people who need these housing desperately. Creative ideas like that, those types of solutions are the things that I think we need to do in order to solve this. And I do believe that, you know, I support the $4 billion bond. I support more funding for affordable housing. The government has a role to play here in ensuring that we have affordable housing. It's just finding the right policy solutions that don't exacerbate the housing crisis.
Let's bring our next caller on the line. We have Matt from right here in Berkeley. Good morning.
Good morning. I was calling because in the stuff that I've been reading, I hear about Buffy Wicks. The sort of a picture is painted that she's not really from here, is kind of sort of like this Democratic employee type who goes wherever she's needed in the country and doesn't really have ties to the community. And her points might be based on, you know, what's popular in the political realm rather than based on true experience. So I thought I would give Buffy the opportunity to tell us what her ties actually are to the district in California. Did you grow up here? How long have you lived here? How do we know that you really understand what's going on here rather than just you know, what political advisors might say and what are popular topics. What's your ties to this district?
Sure. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to discuss that. So I'm born and raised in California. I grew up in a trailer in a really working class community about 2 hours from here. I first moved to the district in 1996, where I was taking a class at Cal. I've since lived here on and off over the past, 20 plus years, over multiple different times. When I was President Obama's field director, I was living here in the district. I was an organizer in the anti-war movement in San Francisco in 2003. You know, I went and worked for President Obama for about 6 years, helping to get him elected twice and work in the White House and worked on a bunch of progressive issues there in the White House. And then I recently moved back in 2015. My husband and I, you know, decided to move back home. My family's here. We got married, decided to have a baby, so wanted to be close to family. So recently returned in 2015.
But let me press you on that, because I think this is one of the dominant narratives of the race. You don't have a history in local politics here. You arrived on the scene less than 3 years ago. You just laid out a detailed housing position, but said in the course of laying it out, you've never spoken to tenants' rights groups in your district about it. I mean, what do you say to someone who says, Buffy Wicks, you might be a wonderful person, but I don't have confidence that you relate to or understand the needs of the people living in the district that you want to represent?
Sure. So, you know, I have done 214 house parties in this race. I've been in living rooms of all walks, shapes, and sizes in every corner of this district. And I've done a lot of listening of folks in living rooms all over this district about the issues that they care about, the issues that they are concerned about. I've been endorsed by 8 of the 10 mayors of this district, many of the city council members, a lot of community-based organizations, including East Bay for Everyone, Planned Parenthood, 22 labor unions who have workers in this district. I have done a lot of listening and understanding of where folks are at. And I also think that the relationships and skill set that I have learned while I've been gone working for President Obama can be of use in Sacramento. You know, those are relationships and skills that I can bring to the table to help build coalition. I've spent my entire life working in progressive politics, bringing diverse coalitions of people together to achieve real results. You know, I've worked on big policy. You know, I've advocated at the state level. You know, I ran a parent organizing program here in California advocating for the passage of Prop 55 and Prop 56, you know, for more funding for our public schools and the tobacco tax.
Yeah.
So I've done a lot of stuff here locally as well as nationally. And I think bringing those skills of being an organizer, working, you know, as an organizer my entire career, working at the state level, working at the federal level, being in people's living rooms, doing a lot of listening, understanding where people are coming from, I think that I can go to Sacramento and not just vote the right way, but I think I can lead the right way on a lot of these issues in Sacramento.
Javonka Beckles, in fairness, let me put the same question to you. You know, based on your personal history and resume, how well positioned are you to understand and represent the interests of the people in this district?
Absolutely qualified, in fact, quite qualified. I've lived in the Bay Area for 30 consecutive years. I have worked here for 30 years in the mental health field. I have worked specifically in Richmond for the last for over 20 years. I worked for Rubicon programs that help the homeless, help people with mental health issues and substance abuse issue. Now I'm working for Contra Costa County as a children's mental health professional for the last 18 years, and it's because of my work, working with the community, within this community, hearing the issues and seeing the issues firsthand is why I ran for city council in the first place, to develop the kinds of policies that level the playing field, the kinds of policies that provide the support for the families that I'm working with. And I would have to say that in the last 20 years working right here in this district, I have been in over, I would have to say at least 1,000, at the very least, 1,000 homes of struggling families. And children and listening to them and hearing what it is. And so it's because of that experience. It's because of my experience on the Richmond City Council. I've been on the Richmond City Council in elected office for 8 years, and we have seen the amazing victories that we have been able to achieve in Richmond because we have a supermajority of council members who took no corporate money, who are beholden only to the people. Again, unlike my opponent, I have spoken to tenant rights groups. I am endorsed by so many local grassroots organizations who, and over and around 30 unions who have seen me on the picket lines, who have seen me, you know, in the protests for Black Lives. People have seen me working hand in hand, arm in arm with the community, and that was what makes me qualified. I have a voting track record as an elected official and know firsthand of the issues from the people, hearing it from them.
Let's try to squeeze in one more caller before our time is through. We have Nick on the line in Berkeley. Good morning, Nick. Nick, you with us?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So my question is for Buffy Wicks. So as you probably know, there's an interesting website called BuffyWicks.money that tracks all of the people and groups spending money on your campaign to the tune of almost $2 million. There's actually a lot of Republicans on the list, as well as school privatization advocates, venture capitalists, and real estate developers. So my question is, why are these people spending so much money on you? And how can voters trust you to stand up to the GOP and the very wealthy interests that are funding you?
Thanks for that call, Nick. Buffy Wicks.
Sure. So of the money that I have received on my campaign, it is not $2 million by any stretch. But of the money that I've received on my campaign, one, I haven't taken any corporate money in this race. You won't find a single check in my filing from any corporation. In the state, there's very few candidates in the state of California who have made that decision and who are running. My largest network of donors is the Obama Alumni Network, and those are folks from all over the country and all over the Bay Area and all over the state of California who I've worked with over the years in my time working for President Obama, who are supporting my campaign and my candidacy. Certainly there are donors that have donated to me that I don't share their political views. I'm sure my opponent's in the same position. You know, I know she's received money from people who've also donated to Republicans. You know, all of the money that I have received in my campaign are folks who've donated to people like Kamala and Gavin and, you know, progressive champions up and down the state, and that's the reality of the contributions that I have received.
I'm sorry to jump in, but we're short on time. I want to give Jovanka Beckles a bite at the same question.
Yes.
Where's your money coming from?
The majority of my money is coming from individual donations and working people, working families. My donations, the majority of my donations come from right here in the district. Now, the thing about the issue, really, that we're talking about, I believe, in the question is really, it's the issue of Citizens United. And because of Citizens United, we can candidates are allowed to get a lot of money, right, from corporations, from the billionaire class, with through independent expenditures. And so, yes, a candidate may not necessarily have checks written to them from corporations, but it's the benefit, it's the money that they benefit from through independent expenditures. That's the problem, and we know that billionaires, the billionaire class, are not going to invest in a candidate and not expect a return on investment. And so, none of those saying I am not benefiting from any independent expenditures from the very same people who want to destroy our unions, from the same people who want to privatize our schools, from the very people who want to build more for-profit prison system. And again, they only will invest in
candidates. I
don't
think we have time for an again because we are past the hour mark. Jovanka Beckles, Buffy Wicks, I want to thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
The last voice you heard was Jovanka Beckles. She is on the Richmond City Council. Also with me in studio, Buffy Wicks. They are both running to represent California's 15th Assembly District, which is the East Bay from North Oakland and Emeryville all the way north to Richmond and Hercules. Total spending in that race, about $2.5 million so far. That does include a fairly crowded primary. What's remarkable about it? It's the only race with anything resembling that amount of money in it that is not pitting a Democrat against a Republican in a way that might determine who has a supermajority in the state legislature.